Hello, my name is Chip Lang. You're listening to Total EM. March is Women's History Month, and yes, we are wrapping up March, but I did want to take some time to focus on five women that I saw as pioneers in medicine. And these are all posthumous recognitions, but they are very important ones as they did have some significant impacts in medicine, especially in the United States. And with my own children having two girls, I feel like having female role models is incredibly important. And so I feel like, you know, Women's History Month is another important thing to recognize. And so I wanted to make sure to take some time to talk about these five women that I've selected for this particular podcast. Keep in mind, I wanted to talk about a lot of different ones, but I didn't want to be too overwhelming. So I picked five specific pioneers in medicine, particularly in the United States, that have each had a very unique impact. So I want to start with first, Elizabeth Blackwell. So in 1849, Elizabeth Blackwell became the first woman in the United States to earn her MD, and the journey reportedly began after a deathly ill friend said that she would have received better care from a female physician. While she was turned away from 10 medical schools, she refused to disguise herself as a man despite one of her professor's suggestions, and she was able to finally attend Geneva Medical College and would later co-found the New York Infirmary for Indigent Women and Children, and she also worked to support and encourage other women hoping to pursue a career in medicine. This leads nicely to Rebecca Lee Crumpler. She's the first African-American woman to receive her MD in the United States, and she graduated from the New England Female Medical College in Boston, Massachusetts in 1864. In the period following the Civil War, she would move to Richmond, Virginia, and there she treated formerly enslaved people despite severe racism and sexism, and would later write about those experiences. Another female of the same time frame is Mary Putnam Jacoby, and she was a prolific writer. She wrote about all sorts of things, including pediatrics, pathology, and neurology, after she graduated from the Female Medical College of Pennsylvania in 1864. However, one unique claim to fame was her argument against a reported claim in a book by a Harvard professor that exertion, including even studying during menstruation, was dangerous. And obviously today we know how incredibly ridiculous this is, but at the time was something that required a rather detailed argument. And that is exactly what she did. She took the time to go through and prove point by point and with lots of information, data points, charts, and so on, that women were stable in their strength throughout their cycle. And as a result, she would win Harvard's Boylston Prize, which again was a big mark for her and the first female to do so. So this was something that was really unique to read and something that I feel like is a great way of showing a woman who really used her medical knowledge and experience to advocate for other women and help break down some fiction and really be basically one of the early people to break down the dogma and misunderstandings we have in medicine. Speaking of, moving on more to the 20th century, we have Virginia Apgar. And if that name sounds familiar to you, there is a really good reason why. So she is still very recognized for her care with neonates and being able to assess a neonate's health risk and need for potentially life-saving observation. In fact, it was reported that the way this started was because one of her students asked for a way to recognize such risk criterion and how to better identify neonates that were needing additional measures. And this led to what became a backronym in a sense, was the Apgar score. And the Apgar score, as the backronym, the way we think of it now, is to focus in on five criteria: appearance, pulse, grimace, activity, and respiration. Finally, again, in this very brief podcast, I wanted to focus in on Joyce Nichols. And she is one that, again, is maybe not as recognized as Apgar. I think she's the one that sticks out the most in this list. But Joyce Nichols was the first formally educated female PA. And she graduated from Duke University Medical Center in 1970. So only a few years after the original class. And she first started in medicine as an LPN. Dr. Eugene Stead actually encouraged her to attend, even though prior to that point, it had only been men, especially men with a military background, such as Navy corpsmen, to attend the PA program. And if you don't recognize Eugene Stead, he's the only male I'm mentioning today because he is the father of the PA profession. At least that's how some people will recognize him. But he also founded the Duke University program, and that's where this all ties in together. She did suffer from hardships, just like our others that we have mentioned have, including her house burning down in 1969 while she was in PA school. She was well known for her advocacy. In 1996, she was named the AAPA Paragon Humanitarian of the Year, which was just a year after she retired from clinical practice in 1995. Again, there were so many other people that we could have talked about. Marie Curie is one such example. And then even living people, which, like I said, I just wanted to leave out this time, but maybe I can interview these people for next Women's History Month. And one that I would love to talk to at some point would be Judith Tintinnalli. So if you happen to know her and could link us up, that'd be great, because I think she is such a pioneer in emergency medicine. And then there are many others, including other PAs that have been pioneers that I would love to talk about more. But I had to pick some kind of nice number, some round number. And so I chose five, and I chose these five women in particular because of their known or lesser well-known firsts and how they really were pioneers in medicine, especially in the United States. I'd be really curious your thoughts. If you have other thoughts as well, as far as like what you consider as someone who is really important, maybe we can add this into next year's post. Please let me know. Feel free to reach out. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.